Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Again, that is bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find more, but that is bwhustle.com/join.
Chase Thomas podcast, the Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back on Volcanic Takes, a Tennessee Volunteers podcast that is hosted by myself, Chase Thomas, a UT graduate student up here in Knoxville, Tennessee, along with Ryan Shumpert, an undergrad student of the UT Daily Beacon. Ryan Shumpert, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Appreciate you having me on. Been enjoying nice weather in Knoxville this week. It's really starting to feel like spring, so I feel like the next week we're going to be punished at baseball with a bunch of 30, 40-degree weather games just to humble me.
Well, let's not put that out in the atmosphere, Ryan, because it has been great this week. And as an avid runner, very much enjoyed running in this weather today. It's been great. Speaking of running and staying in shape, the Tennessee Volunteers football team, Ryan, they have a new strength and conditioning coach. That was like the last holdover. They brought in the North Texas coach. coach who will be doing special. Is he doing special teams and linebackers from what I saw? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think special teams is going to be his official coaching title, special teams coach. And it sounds like he's going to work with the outside linebackers too.
So this is it, right? This is the final piece to the staff. Like, we're done.
Yep, they finalized the Kevin Still stuff. I guess that was earlier today, maybe yesterday. It's all blending together. But yeah, they finalized the Kevin Still stuff. He's officially off the staff, kind of what everyone expected. They got AJ Artis left, the strength coach left to take that job at South Florida. They got his replacement in, so everything's now officially set.
Yeah, and I think, wasn't it something weird where he had to be officially gone for them to make this last hire?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that was working, but yeah, I believe you're right. There was someone that was holding them back that they had to get him cleared to get the last person officially on.
What was your favorite moment of the Kevin Steele era at Tennessee?
My favorite moment? I mean, there's so many great ones, so many incredible ones to choose.
Getting paid by two programs, to not coach. It's pretty amazing. Great deal for Kevin Steele.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to tip the cap. I mean, when he got hired by Pruitt and Fulmer, and when there was reportedly a hiring freeze, you were kind of wondering what was going on. Why are they paying this dude so much money, not even to be the defensive coordinator? And he may be the highest paid per day interim head coach in football history.
Good for him. Get it when you can. Always appreciative of guys here finding a way to get the bag. Sam Horn and Ty Simpson, two interesting QB targets on the recruiting trail that Tennessee had their eyes on, especially the former staff. They both go elsewhere. Ty Simpson commits to the University of Alabama, the five-star quarterback out of your area, correct? Isn't he from your area?
He's a little more West Tennessee, Martin, okay. Tennessee, but I'm between him and Knoxville.
Okay. He commits to Alabama, and then Sam Horn, who actually went to a rival high school of mine at Collins Hill, committed to Missouri, surprisingly. That kind of came out of left field. Like, Sam Horn seemed like the fallback guy if Ty Simpson did not go to the home school, because like there's pictures of him like wearing UT stuff and like wearing UT gear from like 2 years ago. Like, him just like, he was a Tennessee fan growing up, and Tennessee just did not give him a reason to stay home. And this is something that Josh Heupel's gonna have to change, is like locking down these five-star studs in the state, because this is what has hurt USC and Oregon and schools like that, where like Malik Murphy on his way to Texas from California, Bryce Young went to Bama from the home state. Like, you got to lock down your states, you got to lock that down, your pipeline. Are you more, I guess, how should I frame this? Like, I don't think any of us thought that Ty Simpson was going to commit to the Vols, but were you surprised that Sam Horn ultimately went to Missouri of all places?
I guess I wasn't surprised that he committed to Missouri. I guess I was surprised that it came when it came. You know, it felt like Ty Simpson committed last Thursday, and then it was, you know, every single site had interviews with Sam Horn, Vols new number one target. Then Sunday night at, you know, just 2 days later, he was already decided to go to Missouri. So I think that was surprising. But, you know, it was a tough spot. It was, especially with Sam Horn, because Tennessee under Pruitt wasn't really recruiting him too hard. I think Heupel had recruited him from the moment he got to Tennessee, maybe not with the same priority that he put on him as Ty Simpson. And when you don't have those prior relationships and when you can't get these guys on campus, it's kind of hard to make up that ground when, you know, Eli Drinkwitz and Missouri were recruiting him hard for months and really over a year at this point.
Yeah, there was a picture, I don't know if you saw, of Sam Horn and Cody Brown shaking hands before a game. Did you see this?
I did not see that picture, no.
Okay, so there was like a picture, and it was like one of those, oh, look at this, because Cody Brown, a former four-star running back who was committed and went to my high school, who decommitted. I still don't think he's announced where he's going to recommit, but another what could have been. But it's also like there's no path to Sam Horn playing anytime soon at Mizzou, because Connor Bazelak was quietly really good for Mizzou last year as a true freshman, I believe. Is it Bazelak? Bazelak? Something like that. I don't remember how to pronounce his last name. Yeah, no, Basilak. I think I was right the first time. But anyway, he is going to be, he's not going to be one of those quarterbacks that just like makes the jump the second he's ready. Like, he could be a 4-year starter at Mizzou. So I don't know. I liked what I saw, and he fits what Eli Drinkwitz is trying to do with the dinking and dunking stuff. And Sam Horn might too, but not great. Like, Tennessee should not lose recruiting battles to Mizzou. That's like one of those where, like, Ty Simpson, if he picks Bama, whatever, there's only so much you can do, but like, the Sam Horns of the world, like, you just can't lose those kind of battles to the Mizzou's if you want to get back.
Yeah, I mean, completely agree. Those, I think Ty Simpson obviously hurts. It hurts Tennessee. It, you know, it pains Tennessee fans to see the highest rated quarterback really prospect ever in the state of Tennessee go to Alabama. But I think at the end of the day, everyone understands it. And it's not hard to understand the logic of going to Alabama. And I think Tennessee fans understand the desire of playing in Missouri, but it's not Alabama, and especially for a kid who, you know, is pretty well known as being a diehard Tennessee fan, growing up a huge Tennessee fan. I think he even said he joked with some of the Tennessee assistant coaches that he knew Knoxville better than they did. So to see him go to Missouri, and especially so quickly, and when it seemed like he was going to be a real priority for Tennessee, I definitely think stings. You got to turn the corner and find a way to get some quarterback in the boat, someone you can build off going forward.
Yeah. Well, it's still going to be a pretty full room. Brian Maurer still staying around, I think, is important for them. Bailey is going to be in the mix. We have Hendon Hooker coming in. We have Caden Salter, which I'm still really excited about. So if that was not a thing, I'd be a lot more concerned about the QB room in the foreseeable future at Knoxville. But as of right now, I'm okay. Your early thoughts on Tennessee baseball?
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Yeah, I think they've been about what I expected so far. Maybe the hitting hasn't been quite as consistent as you'd like. Some of those guys that were really good a year ago, Jake Rucker, Max Ferguson, Connor Pavloni, have been also just a little bit slower starts, but I think there's still a lot of reason for optimism too, because some of the younger guys that you knew were going to be in the lineup every day, you didn't know how productive they'd be. They've been really good. Drew Gilbert hitting over 300, Jordan Beck hitting, I think, 318, already has 12 RBIs. So there's been a lot of good stuff, but still some question marks, I think, on the weekend rotation. And that kind of became even more of an emphasis on Sunday when Jackson Leaf tore his hamstring, though. Official word on for sure how long he's going to be out, but from what Vitella said, it sounds like it's going to be a substantial amount of time, and maybe more of if they can get him back at all.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Like, it's kind of weird they're able to get Austin P on the calendar for Wednesday last minute because Dayton canceled. So that was weird, and now going into a very fun, potentially interesting series with Georgia State, who just knocked off number 12 Georgia Tech this week. So Georgia State might be a little feisty. What are you expecting out of this weekend?
Oh yeah, I think it's going to be a really competitive series. I'm very excited for this one. You know, you looked at it before the season, Georgia State, I don't think ton of baseball history, and they were predicted to finish last in the Sun Belt East. But I mean, they've been really, really impressive so far. 4-6 on the year, 9 top 25 teams they've played, and then the one non top 25 team was Georgia. So split 2 with West Virginia, got a game at Vanderbilt, was really competitive in the 2 games. They didn't have to face Leiter and Kumar Rocker. So they've been really impressive, and you would think they would have Tennessee's full attention this weekend, and it should be a good opportunity for Tennessee to kind of submit itself against a team that's proven they can play with top 25 teams and compete really, really well against top competition.
Absolutely. When you think about the Lady Vols getting started with the women's SEC tournament, what should Tennessee fans be expecting from Miss Harper's team?
Well, I think it's a difficult path to in Greenville to the championship game. They get Ole Miss today, who upset Arkansas, but Ole Miss played Tennessee really close in the regular season. I think Tennessee just won that game by 2. And then once you get to Friday, you're going to have to get to Saturday and Sunday, you're going to have to beat 2 really good teams, and what's likely going to be South Carolina and then Texas A&M in the championship game. So, you know, Tennessee certainly could do it, but it's going to be really, really challenging, and is a great test for them kind of going into the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tennessee versus Florida on the men's side of things. That's happening. That's the finale. It's a rescheduled game on Sunday. What are you expecting out of the Vols? Like, the only to go full sports source here. Are you ready, Ryan? Full
uh-huh.
sports source. The only consistency is their inconsistency. And I think that is what we should expect out of the Vols on Sunday. We know how the last meeting went with the Gators in Tennessee. It was not good, and Tennessee got blown out. What do you expect this time around?
Yeah, no, it's hard to know what to expect. Obviously, haven't seen Tennessee in a week, and they were pretty uninspiring in their last two times out against Vanderbilt, and then in a pretty bad loss, a little embarrassing loss to Auburn, considering they didn't have Sharif Cooper and how bad they've been without him. Florida, it's the team Tennessee's kind of obviously lost that game to him earlier in the regular season, but they've had their number recently besides that. So you would think Tennessee would be confident. Rick Barnes' teams usually play good against Florida, so you would think those two things would be working together, having the full week off, Florida coming off a tough loss against Missouri. But it's really hard to know what to expect with this team. It's, to me, it's going to be about if they can find someone, maybe East Pons or Josiah James, to be a little bit more of a consistent scoring threat to go along with the two freshmen here down the stretch. I think that's really what they realistically need to find that could really help them going forward.
Last thing here. Cade Martin, son of T. Martin, did not elect to stay in Knoxville and play for the Vols like his dad. He is committed to play baseball and football at the University of Miami. What do you make of Caden going to Miami?
Yeah, I don't think I was expecting him at least to go to Tennessee, especially with the way things kind of ended with his dad at his alma mater here in the past few months. But, you know, I think the interesting thing is it seems like he's going on to play baseball first and then to play football on the side. So it'll be interesting. I think he's a really good baseball prospect and, you know, a very solid football one as well. I'm not sure how polished he is as a quarterback prospect, but he's obviously a really, really good athlete, and I think we'll be have a good baseball career there, and then, you know, who knows, we'll see what he can do on the football field as well.
Ryan, what can we check out from you this week on the Daily Beacon?
Yeah, so I actually had a story earlier in the week on Tennessee's men's tennis team, who's number 3 in the country, and really kind of very veteran-led squad, was really, really good a season ago. Had the, obviously, like everybody, had their season ripped away. So kind of getting a second chance at things and really taking full advantage of it so far this season. So kind of had complete preview of how they've gotten to this point and what they have ahead of them the rest of the way.
All right. Go do that, my friend. I might see you later. I will be at the Georgia State game this afternoon, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Vols sweep them, as we should, because, you know, David Shealy not here this week, so we can talk mess about the Georgia State Panthers and why they're not the real GSU. The real GSU is the team that got swept on their home field. Was that 2 weeks ago now, almost? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
also, just terrible uniforms. Georgia Southern had all-time terrible uniforms. What was that with the huge state emblem on the bottom left side? Like, what are we doing? Like, it was awful. I hated it so much. But I enjoyed the result, and that was a fun series. Ryan, thank you, as always, my friend, for the time. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate having me on, as always. I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next Friday.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.